Whenever I take a drink of something, my eyes like open up. I don't know why. It's like my body's like, I'm taking a drink. I'm vulnerable. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the Friends Who Like Stuff podcast, where we talk to friends about the stuff we like. I'm John.
And I'm James.
And each week we're joined by a third co-host to join in on the discussion.
What's up? I'm Josh.
And this week, it's our dear friend who also likes stuff.
What's up? I'm Josh.
I've been playing with like some different like cadences the last couple weeks, and James hasn't liked it. I can tell.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
that's not it at all, John.
Oh, you just what?
I'm just
what
slow.
What was it then? Oh, I thought you were like. Because I don't normally say sit on the discussion, and I don't end it on the down. I usually sit it, join in on the discussion.
That's true. That might have thrown me off, but that doesn't mean that I don't like it.
Okay. Well, so Josh, we have you here. One of your favorite super creatures is coming to the big screen this week.
Yes. Yes. All-time favorite monster. Is coming to the big screen this week. Yeah. Yeah. Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire. Godzilla is my favorite guy. So I'm very excited. I just bought my IMAX ticket and we're going to go see it together because I'm already married, James.
Okay. How mad would you be if King Kong gets most of the screen time?
He got most of the screen time in the last movie. And I think he's going to get most of the screen time in this movie too.
You know what?
He
has a big glove this time.
He does have a big glove this time. I don't know why they're so, like, they just latch on to Kong so much. It does blow my mind.
Because he's probably
because it's easier to make him more of a protagonist. It's easier to side with him.
Just like biologically, he's more related.
He's more boring than Godzilla is, in my opinion, just because all he is a big monkey, whereas Godzilla is big
lizard,
but big lizard breathe fire. So I mean, it's whatever, but I've just never been a big fan of monkeys in general. Maybe that's
so you don't care about Baby Kong either.
I do not care about Baby Kong. I do not care.
I think this time they're going to give Godzilla some more powers.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think his gas is going to be extra flammable this time. Like his, and they're going to actually use it to their advantage now.
Yeah. I know he's turning pink at some point. So that's interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's the crystals.
Yeah.
The Kyber crystals are... They found one. He's going to be a Jedi now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, we're getting way off topic now. But in kind of honor of your favorite antagonist creature, sometimes protagonist. I mean, they're
protagonist.
Yeah. We decided to rank our favorite creature features. And a creature feature is supposedly the creature being the antagonist, right? Like, is that the definition of a creature feature?
It's a loose one. When I think where creature feature really came from, I think of like all the classic like Universal monster movies. Dracula.
But even then, so I don't think I would consider Dracula a creature feature. I mean,
yeah,
I guess technically a vampire is a creature, but I think of creature features where the beast doesn't talk.
Like the mummy.
Okay, so the mummy was a human at one point, though. I don't know. It's difficult. It's just kind of a subgenre.
On Wikipedia, creature features normally showed all the Universal horror movies from the 1930s and 40s, like Dracula, Frankenstein, and others. Several old RKO films, like King Kong, Son of Kong, and the original Mighty Joe Young were also included.
It's pronounced
they aired all movies. Frankenstein, that's true. They aired all the movies produced and distributed by the American International Pictures, including Roger Cormanby movies from the 1950s and 60s, such as The Raven, The Terror, plus most of the Japanese monster movies produced by Toho Studios, famous for their Godzilla and Chimera movies. So I think Creature Feature was actually like a block of programming on television. That's where the name comes from.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a generic title for a genre of horror TV format shows broadcast on American television stations.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That's weird, wild stuff.
Wild.
Well, what is it? But what does it mean now? What were our parameters at least?
I think it just means monster movies.
Exactly. Exactly. Whenever I think of a creature feature, I just think of a monster movie, but I also don't think of humanoid monsters, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Something animalistic about them.
Yeah. So like vampires, mummies don't really do it for me, but Wolfman does.
Yeah. Because they're not, they don't, vampires and mummies don't really feel like creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I like that.
So going with that, Josh, why don't you get us kicked off? What's your number five?
My number five, most of mine are fairly recent, but number five is A Quiet Place. I am not big on like horror and suspense movies. And the fact that I went and saw A Quiet Place, not once, not twice, but three times in theaters was a big deal for me. And just a great movie. I love the monsters in there. And more importantly, one of my favorite cut to credit moments ever is in A Quiet Place. When Emily Blunt, when they finally like realize they have a way to weaken these creatures and kill them, and Emily Blunt just cocks the shotgun and it cuts to credits immediately. Oh my gosh. I like cheering. I just, oh man, it's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. John Krasinski, Emily Blunt were just spectacular in it, and great job, great directorial debut for old John Krasinski.
Can't argue with you one bit. That's a great pick, man. That's such a good
one. What's interesting, so I don't know if we've, you know, pulled the curtain back on this, but we usually share all of our top fives before we do this, and this is the first time I've done it with you that we're not going to have any overlap with any of our movies. I don't think we have any overlap, do we?
Me and James have one.
Oh, just kidding. And sorry.
I almost put one of yours on there, but I didn't.
So my number five is a classic creature feature. Actually, it's a remake of a classic, because while the 1958 original with Steve McQueen is pretty great, my heart belongs to 1988's The Blob. You know, a meteorite lands outside of town. Some poor soul decides to poke it with a stick, kicking off a pretty horrifying alien killing spree. As it consumes more, it continues to grow. And there is seemingly no way to stop it until there is. But this remake, it really holds up. The practical effects look amazing, save for a few scenes. And it's brutal. Nobody is safe, including a few people who you think would be. This is the first movie I remember seeing where they broke the no killing kids unless it's integral to the plotline rule. And as a kid at the time, that shook me. There is a lot of cheesy 80s gore, but it really works in this movie. The Blob, I love it.
Is The Blob directed by, is it a John Carpenter movie?
No, I don't remember exactly who directed it, but it was written by what's his name, who does all of the Stephen King movies now.
Oh, okay.
Shawshank and The Mist and Frank Darabont. Okay. I think it was written by him, and then one of the other guys who did The Walking Dead. But no, it's not John Carpenter.
Okay. But it's got that John Carpenter over the top practical violence.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like a late 80s, early 90s thing.
Yeah.
That was just like real fun. All right. My number five is Reign of Fire. This movie came out, I don't remember when, but it came out at a time that I was really into, like, the not quite horror movies. And this one was right up that alley. It takes place in the future where we found dragons. And dragons have kind of taken over the world. And now humans, we're in a rain of fire. Now humans have to kind of battle back and figure out, okay, what's going on. Starts out with, like, this kid finding the first place, and then he ends up being, like, one of the main characters to help the human race. It's just a good movie and very nostalgic for me because it came out at just, like, a perfect time for me to actually, like it and get into it.
So that's funny because it came out at a time in my life where I did not really like it and get into it. However, I revisited it maybe around 10 years ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And had a lot of fun with it. Like, my second viewing was great.
I saw this one in theaters when I guess I was 12 at the time. But yeah, that was just a fun time. Like, right at middle school, getting into all that stuff. You'll see a lot of these are going to be my middle school years. Because that's when sci-fi and fantasy really... I learned that that's what my love was. And it hasn't changed in 20 years, so...
There you go.
It's got a pretty impressive cast. Matthew McConaughey, mm-hmm, and Christian Bale. That's, mm-hmm, and old Jerry Butts.
It was Christian Bale before he was, like...
Before he was Batman.
Before he was the Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Too. Matthew McConaughey was already big, but Christian Bale wasn't yet.
Yeah, not quite.
Great pick, man.
All right, back to me. I'm going to go ahead and... Right, it's me?
Yeah.
Yes. My number four is Jurassic Park, one of my favorite movies ever. I will say I think Jurassic World might fit the creature feature a little bit better than Jurassic Park does, because Jurassic World has a singular, like, big ominous threat that they're trying to neutralize, and Jurassic Park is more of just all the dinosaurs are kind of crazy. But I love Jurassic Park. I love the history of this movie. I love the impact that it has had on digital effects. I love the footprint that it has left behind. And the original T-Rex escaping scene is top-notch. And the ending where the T-Rex comes in and kind of de facto saves the day is one of my favorite scenes that I've ever seen. I watched that for the first time as a child, and just I went nuts when the T-Rex showed back up and started eating velociraptors. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is spectacular. I want every movie to feel like this.
The theater was loud.
I didn't watch it in theaters. I would have been one when this came out. I watched it at my babysitter's house. Gosh, I remember my parents picking me up after work, and like all the car ride home, I was just like, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. That was so cool. That was amazing. I want to watch that every single day for the rest of my life. But obviously I didn't do that. But yeah, that's number four, Jurassic Park.
Rock on.
That's a good one.
My number four is higher on another list. We'll get there.
Cool. My number four is also a dinosaur movie. It is Godzilla 2000.
2000.
With another Matthew Broderick.
Oh, okay. So this is not Godzilla 2000.
It is the one that... What's it called? Is it just Godzilla?
It's just Godzilla, yeah.
Okay. Godzilla came out in 2000.
I think it came out in 1997. There's a Japanese Godzilla 2000.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Roland Emmerich's Godzilla, I think, was 97.
Well, it was
possibly
98.
90. Might 98, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, so this is just Godzilla, not 2000. Sorry.
It's okay.
Godzilla, 1998. Little baby Godzillas, right?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Matthew Broderick. Working for a newspaper or something like that. He just needed to get a scoop. And then Godzilla hit New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who plays a crazy Russian in every movie he's ever in.
Leon?
Or no, he was French, right? Not German.
Jean Reno?
It's Leon the Professional, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fantastic cast all around. You can't name them, any of them, but you know who they are. You watch the movie and you know exactly who they are and what other movies they've been in, but you don't know their names. So this Godzilla retelling also came out at a perfect time, right? I was in like fourth or fifth grade or something like that. And it was just the time that I got to go watch this one in theaters too. And it was so much fun. Because what can go wrong with a giant lizard bumbling around New York? The only weird thing was the laying of the eggs. Like, even back then, I thought, you know, probably not. But other than that, it was so much fun. And like, whenever the Godzilla's foot comes down and he's like right in between his toes, just fantastic.
That was that scene in particular got spoofed so much in nearly every cartoon. And we just really latched onto that scene. I saw this one with my dad on, it was state fair day. Instead of going to the state fair, my dad was like, let's go to a movie. And so we went and watched that together, and that was really special.
I've watched it relatively recently, like in the past 5 years. And obviously it doesn't hold up, but it's still a lot of fun. I had good memories watching it. It wasn't a good movie, but
man, I am not going to fault you for liking this and having this on your list, especially for when it came out in your life. I can totally understand you having fun. Again, it came out at a time in my life where I kind of hated it. I was very disappointed in it. And unlike Reign of Fire, going back and watching it did not make me like
it. Doesn't more. Help.
No. Interesting fact about this Godzilla movie is that Toho in Japan hated it.
Yeah.
To the point where this iteration of Godzilla did make one other appearance in another movie. And I think it was called Destroy All Monsters. And Godzilla faces off against this Godzilla, which they called Zilla, and Zilla is on screen for like 20 seconds and gets blown up almost immediately by Japan's Godzilla. they hated this guy.
Oh my gosh.
I don't blame him.
He did look way different. Like he looked way different. Chunky at all. He's a lizard.
Yeah.
He?
She. Yeah,
she. Yeah, my bad.
Josh, what's your number three?
My number three is Colossal. Have you guys ever seen Colossal?
Yes.
No, I don't think I have.
It's a lot of fun.
And it's great. It stars Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis, and Anne Hathaway learns that she is essentially like piloting a kaiju monster on the exact opposite end of the planet. She, like, whenever she, it's like the exact polar opposite of where she is, like, staying at the beginning of the movie is like this little town in Korea. And when she walks through a certain part of town, this monster on the other side of the world that is mirroring everything that she does will walk through South Korea. And it's very good. It sounds very silly, but it gets very heavy. It gets very dark, and it's so good. It is excellent. If you get, you know, 90 minutes, maybe an hour, 45 minutes of free time, and you see it on Hulu or HBO Max or anything like that, you really should give this one a watch. It's great.
I agree. And you're right. It was surprising. It went surprisingly heavy and dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Based on what we were given in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing the trailer for it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The part where she's dancing and making it dance.
Yes. Yeah. But it is, it's, man, I love Colossal. Very good. Very good movie.
Rock on. John, what's my number four?
I think you're...
Oh, wait. I guess I go to number three, and then you'll go to my number four. My number three is the only movie on my list that was made in the 21st century. Before Bong Joon-ho directed Parasite and Snowpiercer, he made The Host, one of the best monster movies of all time.
This has been on my list for so long. I think it's just a little too... It might be a little too violent for me.
I don't know that it is. Okay. It's been a while since I've watched it, but I don't know that it is. I might rewatch it and see, but it's a traditional big mm-hmm. monster movie, but also a wonderful character development movie, both human and monster. And it goes in places that you wouldn't expect. And because I think you might enjoy it, both of you, I don't want to talk about it too much because, again, it goes... It's just really, really, really good.
Yeah, I'm super interested. I've been interested in this for a long time.
Check it out.
Might have to.
All right, number three.
My number four.
Batman versus Superman. Just kidding. Pete's Dragon.
Oh, just kidding.
Dragon Man too. This one is one of the classic. I think I listed it under my favorite horror movies as well. And it's just a classic. It's a good old fashioned sci-fi movie with the alien that can tear you up every way, including after it dies, if you get any of its blood on you. And this is Alien. And what a good movie. We've discussed it before. This is also James's number four. This is the only one that overlapped for any of us this time, which mm-hmm. is crazy.
Yeah. Alien may take place in space, but it is the best Cabin in the Woods movie ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some of the best creature design of any movie also.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Xenomorph is a little bit difficult to describe in a family-friendly way on a family-friendly podcast. But thankfully, I don't have to because everybody knows what it looks like now, thanks to the popularity and quantity mm-hmm. of titles and in the Fortnite. Franchise.
And Fortnite, yeah.
Man.
Yep, what a good movie.
Love Sigourney Weaver. She's stellar as Ellen Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the cast is great. John Hurt, Yaphet Kotto, and the rest of the gang, they kill it. Yep. And they're killed.
It's a good one.
Yeah, there's hardly anything negative to say about Alien, so I almost feel bad having it all the way down at four.
Yeah, you should have had it at number three.
No, I have The Host there.
Okay, Josh, you're number two.
My number two. Oh man, this is a movie that consumed a large portion of my life for about 3 months when it came out. That is Cloverfield. This, oh man, I think the runtime is like maybe 88 minutes. Let me check that real quick. Oh no, it's, oh yeah, 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 yeah. It's 85 minutes, hour 25. It is, oh, gosh, I'm such a sucker for a gimmick when it comes to making your movie. And so I love found footage movies. With Cloverfield being my favorite and then Chronicle being one right behind it. But gosh, I don't know what to say, man. I just, it checked every single box. It was a gimmick. It was spooky. It was a big monster attacking New York City. I love Cloverfield. And anytime anything with a Cloverfield name has been released, I've been there. I want to watch it. I want to consume it. I want to then hop online and watch all the YouTube people figure out how everything is connected. And gosh dang, I love Cloverfield. I hated this monster. This is one of those, like, I hated him, and I hated his little punk, dumb things that fell off his body too and killed people. I hated this guy, but I love this movie so much. And Lizzie Kaplan is great. TJ Miller is in this movie, which is weird. Yeah. But man, it is I just love it. It's so good. So good. So well done. More Cloverfield. I'll watch every single Cloverfield thing you've got. Please, 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 more. I think there is a direct sequel to this movie coming out eventually.
So. I liked this movie, almost made my list too. I mostly just liked the first one though. I loved that it didn't even matter where the thing came from. Like, there was the mystery around it, and they were trying mm-hmm. to, like, they were not trying to figure it out, but like the world was trying to figure out.
Yes.
And yeah. Like, they slipped it in at different times, like trying to figure that out. And you never really found out. I think at the end it may have like hinted at something, but that's it.
Well, there was the alternate reality game that came with this that eventually, like, if you did everything, if you looked up everything, you figured out what happened. And there's a whole iceberg of lore to go check out with Cloverfield about, well, like, actual.
You figure it out later things. Anyway. Like, yeah. The Cloverfield paradox and all, you figure out.
Yeah. What I happened. Mean, sort of. A little bit, but even that doesn't really touch on where it actually. Well, yeah, but.
Well, anyway, that was one of my favorite parts, was just like you were left with almost more questions yes. than you started with.
And oh, yeah.
It was just a lot of fun, and they were just trying to survive. And that's yes. all they were doing.
Oh, best part. Matt Reeves directed this movie, director of The Batman.
It was not Drew Goddard.
No, I think it's Matt Reeves. I'll check. But it was produced by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
Director Matt Reeves. Writer Drew Goddard.
Writer Drew Goddard. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, so, that's a big, that's the big three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, great movie. If you've never seen it, you got to go watch it. Please go watch it.
There you go. Yeah, I haven't seen it since it came out. I need to revisit it. Oh, I don't really remember a whole lot about it.
Man.
My number two. Speaking of a pretty horrifying alien killing spree, my number two is a remake of a classic sci-fi film, The Thing from Outer Space. John Carpenter's The Thing. And it is a masterclass in practical creature design and yes. effects.
Yeah.
Unlike Alien, it wants to be seen in all of its glory. But it still can get just as tense as anything in Alien. That Petri dish scene still gives me anxiety every single time, but it really shines with all of the different forms that the creature takes. Like, the Norris spider is burned into my brain. Kurt Russell and Keith David are at the top of their game. Wilford Brimley, he's in it. So that alone is worth the price of admission. But I could watch The Thing, you know, once a month and be happy. I couldn't watch it every day.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is the everlasting fight of vampires versus werewolves. All of these movies, by the way, came out like
in middle school,
late 90s yeah. or early 2000s, and this one was one of like the first pretty hard R movies that I had ever seen, and this was Underworld. It's basically the story of, I mean, like I said, vampires or werewolves. Werewolves are trying to find this one guy who has the bloodline of the original. Because the story goes, you know, the mythos goes, there were three brothers. One became a vampire when he was bitten by a bat. One became a werewolf when he was bitten by a wolf. And the third was just a human, but he had like the genetics in order to, you know, be able to handle being a werewolf or a vampire. And so they're trying to find somebody of that lineage. The werewolves find him, make him a werewolf, and then the vampires make him a vampire too. And so he's the first like mix, and there's a big fight over it, and the werewolves are, yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot. And it had werewolves and vampires, and it was kind of edgy and dark and action-packed. And yeah, I love a good action sci-fi fantasy movie.
This is one that I really wanted to see when it came out, and also knew I was never going to see when it came out because I knew it was such a hard R, and I was like, I mean, I want to because the subject matter is so right up my alley. Like, I love werewolves, and so I wanted to see this so bad, but also just like, I also really don't.
The fight scenes are so good, and the gun scenes are. It's like if John Wick, if you've seen John Wick, they do very similar things, just like way before and not quite as heavy on that stuff. There's a little bit more, but that's John Wick reminded me of a lot of the things where they're, you know, loading up their guns and going and shooting things and using them as weapons too. And yeah, I don't know. Is it just great? Great action.
Go James.
Well, so it's been a long time since I've seen it, and y'all both said hard R, and so I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch it.
Okay, by hard R, I mean it wasn't Gladiator, it wasn't The Patriot, right? This was this movie actually should probably a teenager probably shouldn't watch it, you know. Whereas the other ones, it was just kind of it had some, action and violence, but overall it was, it was R because of the technicalities, not because this one had curses, and I don't think it had any nudity. I don't, honestly, it may have had nudity, and I just don't remember it.
Dude, Bill Nighy is in this movie? Good grief.
Uh-huh.
I love Bill Nighy.
But it had a lot of gunshots and limbs being cut off and in gruesome ways, not just, a musket.
One movie I'm surprised I didn't see that came out around the same time as this is Van Helsing. Because that was
I saw Van Helsing. It was not good. Yeah.
It was not great.
It was not great.
Josh, what's your number one?
Oh, man. My number one is closely related to my number two. Because I hated the Cloverfield monster so much. And I wanted him to get his comeuppance so badly that I started a tradition that as soon as I finished watching Cloverfield, I would immediately watch my number one movie. Because the bad monster in this movie moves so similarly to the Cloverfield monster and walks so similarly that I was like, This is retribution. This is what he gets. This is his deliverance. And I am talking about the 2014 Gareth Edwards Godzilla movie, which I think is a darn near perfect Godzilla movie. I love this movie so much. I think it is so well shot. I think the sound design is absolutely aces. I love Godzilla's design in this. I love how he moves. I love how they treat him like another movie we're going to mention here in a little bit, where you don't see him just a whole lot. They really kind of just show glimpses of him here and there. And then you get that first pan up where you see his foot land at the Hawaii airport, and then you pan up and you see him for the first time. It lets out his roar, and I love this movie. His atomic breath scene is incredible. The finishing move on the Muto is incredible. The human people in this one, unlike the ones that came after it, are actually competent and feel like they're reacting normally to what is happening in front of them.
The other movies desperately needed Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston, even Aaron Taylor Johnson, he doesn't do just a whole lot in this movie, but he's a regular guy. I don't know. It feels like such a very grounded response to this. And the reason why I love this movie so much is actually why I really don't like Godzilla King of the Monsters. I hated Godzilla King of the Monsters because it just felt like such a it felt like they took like 500 steps back or one Godzilla step back from what they did with the people in that first movie. But gosh, I love this movie. I could talk about it forever. It's great. Godzilla 2014 is so good.
Rock on. I enjoy Godzilla. I don't have the love and reverence for Godzilla that you have, but I enjoy Godzilla. I did love this latest one.
Minus one's so good. And for such a different reason than why the 2014 Godzilla is so good. Because Godzilla is a villain in that one, but man, the human element in Godzilla Minus One is just, ugh.
Yeah.
It's heavy and it's so good.
Yeah. Godzilla X Kong is not the last one yet because it hasn't come out yet.
No. So. And it's going to be stupid. It's going to be dumb. And I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. Because Godzilla versus Kong is also very stupid and very dumb, but I had a terrific time with it.
My number one, Josh kind of alluded to, you know, not seeing the monster. I don't know if we could make an episode of Creature Features without at least one of us having the movie that made swimming terrifying on this list. And that is The Mummy. Jaws is just, it is such a classic. It is a masterpiece. It is the first blockbuster movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to be basically a horror movie is massive. What Steven Spielberg did almost by accident, because the mechanical shark that they had made wasn't working very well.
So
he had to resort and get creative and not show the monster. It worked in his favor, not seeing the shark just going to town on people. I don't think it was until we were on the boat with, I forget the name of the boat, not the Nemo.
I think it's, we're going to need a bigger boat is when you see him for the first
time. Yeah. So they're on the Orca and it was Roy Schneider was out there. He turns his head and looks back and then all of a sudden Jaws just comes out and yeah, that's when it's like, we're going to need a bigger boat. It's incredible. It's just an animal. It's a monster of an animal. But it, like, people legit got scared of swimming because of that movie.
There was a mild neighborhood panic that happened in Arnica a couple years ago because of this movie. Our other friend who likes stuff, Jeff, his neighborhood put on Jaws as like a neighborhood like movie night.
4th of July.
And I don't know if it was 4th of July or not. I know it was definitely in the summer. And man, Jeff has great, great like video of the kids watching someone get killed by Jaws and like the slow panic that spreads throughout all the kids and then the mass hysteria that happened afterwards is so funny. So funny.
Yeah, like
childhood trauma.
Didn't a neighbor's kid end up at Jeff's house? Because they all decided that they wanted to go inside and not watch it anymore.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Oh, man. Well, my number one. What's bigger than Jaws? The Meg. Just kidding. It's like Jaws on steroids. No, my number one, I can't leave that era where monsters were the thing. So, what are you laughing at, John?
He just got your Meg joke.
Oh. No, I just go.
So, this was the first installation of Riddick, the first little bit that we got from Riddick, and the first movie that I had seen that starred Vin Diesel. This is Pitch Black. Such a good movie. How do you defeat evil with evil? Riddick is a, like, basically Supermax prisoner who escaped from prison and got, like, well, he got told he was never going to see daylight again, so he paid, like, a doctor in the prison to just, like, put like these little shiny, like shiny, make his eyes so that he can see in the dark, basically. And they go to a planet where there are a bunch of monsters that come out when it gets dark and it's about to be a big solar eclipse. And so he comes in handy. Lots of people die. And Riddick is the anti-hero. He's not doing it for him. He's kind of just doing it. Or he's doing it for him. He's not doing it really for anybody, but he kind of has he has a little bit of good in his heart, I guess, because he goes back and he makes sure that one of them's okay. If he does good, it's for a reason. It's not just to do good. And then in Chronicles of Riddick, I think he became a little bit too good, and then he went back to being a butthole in Riddick. But once again, this was a movie that I saw in middle school. And it hit all the right notes for that time in my life. And going back and watching it again, I still enjoy it. I still like it. It's still probably my favorite Riddick movie out of the three.
It's another movie that I've only seen once, but I remember having a decent time with it. Mm-hmm. I also remember that it was my first. So it wasn't my first Vin Diesel movie. I think that was probably Saving Private Ryan, but it was the first one that I actually recognized him in.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
And he like takes off his glasses whenever it gets dark, and he like disappears for a little bit, comes back, and he's killed all the, like, they think that he left them, and then it ends up he like was going out to come back and kill everybody. Not everybody, like the people, but the monsters. Yeah. And who's the monster in that one? It's a double creature feature, because the monster might be Riddick. You don't know. Except I told you that it wasn't, but.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Josh, have you ever seen Pitch Black? Have you ever seen any of the movies that I've other than Alien and Godzilla?
I've only seen Godzilla.
I was about to say, you didn't watch Alien with us.
I haven't seen Alien. I haven't seen Underworld. I haven't seen any of the Riddick movies, and I haven't seen Reign of Fire. Although Reign of Fire is definitely my speed, for sure.
Yeah, Pitch Black was cool.
Rock on. I did not come up with an honorable list. Did y'all?
I got a couple.
I just have one.
I think we have the same one.
Yeah, there were a couple, but the one that I bumped from my list because it was not at the same time as all the other ones. And really, it didn't, like, the order doesn't matter too much with my list, but this was Pacific Rim.
Gosh.
It was just, it was a bunch of fun seeing big old robots beat kaiju, and man.
Especially Pacific Rim 2.
Not so much that one.
But. It was still fine. Pacific Rim 2 was fine. It was not Pacific Rim, but it was fine.
Man, I love Pacific Rim. It was a passion project of Guillermo del Toro, and it comes through. It's so good. It's so much fun. The visuals in that movie are awesome. Just awesome. I think I'd also throw Jurassic World on there. I think that's a really good creature feature. Godzilla Minus One would be up there for me as well.
I almost put that one on there too.
Yeah.
Actually, that one is an honorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I kind of just lump Godzilla all together. Mm-hmm. And since y'all mentioned, I didn't have him on my list.
James, I feel like this was one that would be up your alley. Have you ever seen Attack the Block?
I have not, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, that was like John Boyega's first big role. I hear it's pretty good. Does anybody have like a Predator on their list by any chance? Tremors?
So Tremors could make my... I made an honorables list, Tremors would be on there.
Yeah.
Predator seemed less monstery to me, and so I didn't lump it in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's too cerebral of a monster. Like, things through.
Yeah.
I've never really just loved the Predator movies. Like, the first one with Arnold is pretty decent. The second one, just weird.
What about this latest one?
The Prey?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have not watched Prey, but I've heard it's great.
I've heard Prey is very good.
I liked it.
But every other movie that I've watched, any of the Alien versus Predator movies or just predators or whatever. Not great.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun, guys.
Yeah.
That was an easier list to build than I thought, but also I don't know if my list actually means anything. So there you go. Well, that's a wrap for what?
Oh, hang on.
What?
Hang on. I think there's a creature feature that you left off, John.
Which one?
Rubber.
You're right. Rubber. I thought you were going to say Harry Potter and the...
Oh, no. In the Chamber of Secrets?
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Chamber of Secrets is more of a creature feature because of the basilisk.
Well, the Prisoner of Azkaban has beaks or buckbeak.
Yeah, but buckbeak's not the... The thing that throws everything off is Remus at the end. Without that happening, it would have been a simple wrap up. Just like we're about to wrap up our episode of Friends Who Like Stuff, thanks for listening to us talk about our favorite creature features.
As always, let us know what yours are. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, and you can also email us at fwlspod@gmail.com.
And Steven, you emailed us and you got the prize, and so that is gonna ship pretty soon from James. And you can watch us every Thursday evening on Twitch. Join us next time as we dive into a new list with a friend or two.
Until then, keep exploring and enjoying the stuff you're passionate about. And thanks for being a friend who likes stuff.
Bye. Running deep in my sea of loathing, where my heart is, I feel it comes to me.